The following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
My name's Kyle, one of two Kyles here this morning who's a pastor at Summit. You'll meet the other one in a little bit. I'm the congregational pastor here, and I'm so thankful that you're with us here at Summit Spartanburg. Thank you for worshiping with us. Thank you for participating in making much of the name of Jesus and celebrating the Lord's faithfulness through the taking of the elements. And whether you call Summit Spartanburg home or you're just visiting for some reason or maybe you're looking for a church home, my heavens, what a beautiful thing to make much of Jesus together. And we've done that this morning, and we're going to continue to do that this morning as we open God's Word. If you've never done this, if you're a guest especially, and you've never filled out a guest card for us, you can do so. We'd love for you to do so and invite you into further connection here at Summit by following the QR code on the back of the pew in front of you. You can also grab a physical copy out there in the atrium and fill it out there and drop it in the offering slot there on the sides of the walls there as you go. And I would love to follow up with you and just say thanks for being here and invite you deeper into connection here at Summit. This morning, we're going to be continuing our brief series called Rhythms of Grace. Typically, we teach through books of the Bible, beginning to end. Every now and then, we take quick breaks to do stuff like this, a little more topical series. And this is a series where we want to share with you from Scripture what it means to be a maturing disciple who makes disciples and how that plays itself out in the life and rhythms of our church family. And so last week, we discussed from Ephesians 4 the significance of being intentionally formed by building our lives around truth and practices and community that foster spiritual growth in us, right? If you remember last week, we talked about, you can check our website and listen, talked about the fact that every day we wake up, we're being formed, either unintentionally or pushing against that, intentionally being formed by those things. And so this morning, though, in addition to continuing that series, we're also going to be commissioning Josh and Sarah. There are more tiers to come, and we're excited to be able to do that as they prepare to plant Living Vine Community Church in Woodruff, South Carolina. And so I plan to be brief, and all God's people rolled their eyes and said, "We'll see." I need y'all, listen, somebody's going to make fun of me for it, so I might as well make fun of myself. So here's the deal. If you would, open your Bibles to Hebrews 10. That's where we're going to be. And we're going to consider together the incredible significance and joy and beauty of gathering together as the people of God. So let me pray for us, and we'll jump in. Father, we have already celebrated your faithfulness today, and we want to continue to do so. This is your word. This is your truth. And whether it's a topical series or we're teaching through books of the Bible, we want to anchor deep in what you've said to us. And so would we be faithful to hear your words? Spirit of God, do what only you can do. Meet us where we are, because the truth is, I don't know, we don't know where everybody situated in this room is as they think about you and who you are and what it means to be a part of your family, but you do. And it might sound scary to say that there's nothing that's hidden from you, but there's nothing more wonderful than realizing that I am known and loved in Christ by the God of the universe. And so, Father, we ask for your help as we open your word. Be with us. It's in your good name we pray, King Jesus. Amen. Well, I'm telling myself a little bit here. Have you ever driven home on a night when you are just fried, right? Like just exhausted. Maybe you're leaving a super late meeting. Maybe you're leaving, we're just entering this world, your 9,000th soccer practice of the week. Or baseball practice or whatever it might be, but whatever it is, you know that you're exhausted, so you leave where you are, and the next thing you know, you are parked in your driveway, and you're not sure how you got there. Ever experienced that, right? Feel like maybe you're in an M. Night Shyamalan movie, It's like, well, I'm missing something, some minutes there. You just have these kind of oddly ethereal memories of stopping at red lights and turning onto streets, but your mind and your body went onto autopilot and took you home, doing what you always do, turning where you always turn. And I think that if we're honest, that's sometimes how we feel, or maybe sometimes how we think about or experience gathering together with God's people in corporate worship. And that's a good thing, hear me. It's a good thing for this gathering of believers to be so ingrained in the rhythms of our life, so ingrained into our subconscious minds and the decisions that we make, that it's not a question, because we know, hey, we're gathering with God's people. But in that, it's easy to just put it on autopilot with any kind of thought as to how or why we do it. Or maybe, right, we show up because it's what we do and we understand that it's important and we're not necessarily on autopilot, but we don't think about what happens when we gather for these 75-ish minutes as really intentional spiritual formation. There's some encouragement that happens or whatever. Get a little boost, spiritual kind of like caffeine shot as we head into the rest of the week. Right? Isn't spiritual formation what happens in smaller groups, in Bible studies, in life groups, and disciple groups? Which, by the way, registration for those is life. You should sign up. They're good things. I want us to look together at what Tanya read already, Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 25. And as we do so, here's what I think we'll see. We'll see that gathering in worship with God's people is a non-negotiable means of grace that the Lord uses for intentional spiritual formation in our lives. Gathering together in worship with God's people is a non-negotiable means of grace that the Lord uses for intentional spiritual formation in our lives. Now, Hebrews 10, we're going to read it again in just a second, but let me just share a little bit. Hebrews is more than just a letter. In a lot of ways, it's really kind of a sermon manuscript. And at the heart of this sermon manuscript is this central thesis that Jesus is better than anyone and anything else. And if we can kind of zoom the lens in just a little bit tighter, we'll see that at the heart of the message, if you will, between chapters 4 and 10, the author of Hebrews makes the case that Jesus is a better high priest through whom we have unprecedented, unfettered access to the throne of grace, right? So we get to approach in Christ the throne of grace, the throne of God, with confidence because of Jesus' death and resurrection. So it's in kind of on the back end of that heart of the heart exhortation in Hebrews that we have these words from the author. Verses 19 through 25 of chapter 10. We'll read them again. Therefore, brothers and sisters, right? Since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And then notice these last two verses. It's where we're going to spend most of our time the next couple of minutes. And let us, verse 24, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So here's the argument, kind of the flow of things in this portion of Hebrews 10. The therefore in verse 19 is an arrow pointing us back to what's already been said. And what's already been said is a meditation on the all-sufficiency of Jesus, his death in our place for our sins. So no more animal sacrifices at a temple. No more earthly high priest to offer those sacrifices or serve as a go-between between a holy God and a sinful people. The author of Hebrews reminds us that in Christ we have the law of God written on our hearts, that we are new, that our sins are cast away, and they aren't just cast away, they are, I'm going to make up a word, unremembered by God the Father. And it's because of that promise, then, that we are invited into the presence of the living God. As we get into our passage, we see the curtain that marked off and kept sacred the most holy place where God's presence dwelt amongst his people has been torn. If you think back to the gospel accounts, this is the veil that tore, the curtain that tore at the crucifixion of Christ, symbolically demonstrating that because we are covered in his righteousness, we are invited to step into the very presence of God with confidence. So no tiptoeing or apologizing. No falling on our faces anymore. No, wondering if God's going to incinerate us like Isaiah. The way is open. We have a great high priest, an ultimate high priest who has made the way through his flesh, through his death. So that's how we get to, beginning in verse 22, a series of three commands. We're going to talk about really just the last one for the most part. But those three commands are in verse 22, draw near, right? Let us draw near to the Lord. Number two, in verse 23, hold fast the confession of our hope. So hold fast to hope and the truth that represents our hope. And then the third command, where we're going to land, is to consider how to encourage one another toward love and faithfulness. Consider how to stir up one another toward love and good works, right? So those first two commands are super important, but we're not going to focus on them so much. We've already kind of alluded to the draw near. Intimacy with God is something that is possible, and we're going to talk about it, and we're going to beat that drum over and over and over again because God in Christ has made it so. He welcomes us as a father who extends his loving embrace and gracious heart to us as sons and daughters. So we don't have to wonder or worry about our standing before him because we bear the righteousness of Christ. And that's the hope that we're called to hold on to here. It's because of the Lord's faithfulness that our standing before him is secure for eternity. Now hear me, right? I am guessing that for many of us, these are not new ideas. We would raise our hands and say yes and amen because these are well-worn paths of gospel truth that we've walked over and over and over again and affirmed thousands of times. But then we've got to consider that last exhortation, that final command. There is something formative that happens when we rehearse those familiar truths over and over and over again in gathered worship. There's something that the Spirit of God does in our hearts. I want you to listen again to verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So the command there, which the ESV translates consider, is a call to direct our minds towards something and think deeply on it. Right? Make your eyes cross, thinking hard about it. And then you pair that with the word for stir up, which if you read through the New Testament is usually used in a negative sense. To annoy the mess out of somebody is what it means in the Greek. Just kidding, but kind of. But here the author of Hebrews is just flipping it a little bit, a lot of it. And instead of this negative connotation of irritating somebody, it means to spur someone on to action. So the command, when you put those two things together, is to give serious thought. And focus on, consider deeply how it is that you bear the responsibility, how it is that the Lord might desire to use you to encourage brothers and sisters to grow up in Christ when you gather together in worship. How might we spur one another toward love and good works? And those sound like really generic terms, right? Love and good works. Until you think about Jesus' answer to the question of what is the greatest commandment? Love God with everything you've got. It's my paraphrase. And love your neighbor as yourself. So in short, we are commanded here by the author of Hebrews to think deeply and intentionally about the ways that we might encourage one another as disciples to faithfully live in obedience to Jesus. But the author of Hebrews knows that this kind of mutual spiritual formation is best accomplished when God's people are actually gathered together. So he makes sure we understand. Don't treat gathering with God's people, and I think specifically he's got in mind here some measure of corporate worship. Don't treat that as one option in a choose-your-own-adventure story. Don't view it as something that you do when it's convenient and fits into your schedule. If we are to participate in encouraging one another to faithfully follow Jesus, if he actually wants to use us to do that in one another's lives, then we must prioritize gathering together in worship. And it also means that our field of vision when we gather on a Sunday morning isn't just filled with making sure that we individually walk out of here with something in our pockets. Some way that the Lord encouraged us. Like, that's important, don't get me wrong. But that can't be the only question that we ask. The express command of Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 is, make sure you're thinking intentionally about the formation of others around you and how the Lord might want to use you in that. We're going to have more time to build on this next week when we consider the ways that the Lord's Supper and the way that baptism all serve as these integrally formative elements of our walk with Jesus, our discipleship. But for now, I made a promise of brevity I intend to keep. I just want us to answer the question, do I believe that I have a role to play in the formation of others when we gather for worship? Because this would be really easy for this to be one of those verses, one of those passages that we read through and we think it applies to something else or for someone else in some other way. But do I believe that I have a role to play, not just me, not just the worship team, not just somebody who stands up here and prays or reads a passage of Scripture, but you when you just roll in and you sit in the pew? Do I believe that I have a role to play in the formation of others when we gather for worship? I can't prescribe for you necessarily precisely how the Lord might do that, how the Lord might use you. I just want us to do business with the question that Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 elicits. Like, is this something? This call to stir, think intentionally about stirring one another up toward love and good works. Is this something that I'm willing to take seriously? And if we answer that in the affirmative, the question then becomes, how might the Lord want to use me to do that? And so in answer to that question, and as we get ready to land the plane, I just want to offer three simple principles. And these are application drawn out of the text, right? I can't point you to exactly where this is in Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. This is an attempt to apply this to our lives. And if you have not grabbed one, we've got notes back here, back there. You can grab them on your way out. These are all written down for you. But how might I kind of discern how the Lord would use me? In gathered worship. And number one is prepare prayerfully. Number two is, and we'll go through all of these, be attentive to the Spirit. And then number three is be willing to take a risk. Prepare prayerfully, be attentive to the Spirit, and be willing to take a risk. So first, very simply, would you prayerfully prepare for worship? Take a moment and read through the passage. I feel like I've talked about this a few times over the last few months. Take a moment to read through the passage that we're going to be working through. Pray for the worship team. Pray for whoever it is maybe who's teaching, or pray for the people who normally sit. We're all creatures of habit. Pray for the people who normally sit around you. And ask the Lord, whether you're serving or leading or simply attending, how He might want to use you to stir up the affections of others toward Jesus. Stir others up toward love and good works. Prepare prayerfully. Be attentive to the Spirit. Don't just go through the motions. Ask the Spirit to nudge you where you might need nudging during a service. And that's what I mean when I say that we have to be willing to take a risk. I'm not saying that you need to take a risk of standing up in the middle of a sermon or a song and like testify to something or whatever, you know? Most of the time I would ask you not to do that. But, and I'm not saying, I feel like I need to say that. I'm not saying that the Spirit of God is definitely telling you that you need to be on the worship team when you maybe can't sing or play an instrument. But I am telling you that attentiveness to the Spirit of God using you to spur others on might look like walking up to someone even during a service and letting them know that as you've spent time with the Lord throughout the week, He continues to bring them to mind and asking them if there are specific ways you can pray for them. Taking a risk, being attentive to the Spirit, could look like asking for forgiveness during a service because you know that you got to make something right with a brother or sister and you want to model repentance right there, right now. Taking a risk could look like what we witnessed a few weeks ago. I got done preaching, I'm standing right down here, and Clint came up to me and he said, I mentioned this a few weeks ago as well, he's like, hey, I don't know what you want to do with this. I don't know what you got planned for the benediction. I'm about to hijack that. Just kidding. Super humbly, graciously. Here's a passage the Lord laid on my heart. Would you consider, is this something maybe the Lord has for us as a people? I could have said no, and I trust that Clint would have been fine with that. But it's clear that the Lord did that because He used Clint to speak truth, remind us of who Jesus is and what Jesus has accomplished in our place. The Spirit of God is gracious. Prepare prayerfully. Be attentive to the Spirit. Be willing to take a risk, encouraging others toward love and good works. I want to invite the band to come back up. As we take this seriously, as we recognize that Sunday morning is not simply a time either for us to be passive participants or recipients, it's not just a time, it is this, but it's not just a time for us to be filled up But it's also a time for us to participate in what God is doing in forming everybody who we're sitting in this space with into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. As we take that seriously, the Lord, I trust, will use more than just a sermon or songs or a passage read to encourage our mutual growth in Christ. He'll use the gathered body to form us as Christ followers. Turns out the Spirit of God is operative in more than just me when I teach or the team when they lead. Present and operative in you even now. And that is the truth why, as we commission Josh and Sarah and send them out, and their boys, as we say goodbye to folks from our gathering who will go with them, it's a huge piece of the reason why this is bittersweet. Because we celebrate God's faithfulness in planting a new expression of His body in Woodruff, South Carolina, and we say goodbye to those who have played a role in our formation over the years as we've gathered with them in worship. And so I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to continue to sing of the Lord's faithfulness, because at the end of the day, he's going to prove that time and again in our lives here, in Josh and Sarah's lives, and the Living Vine Community Church folks as they begin in faithfulness this new work that the Lord has called them to. And so would you bow your heads and pray with me, and we're going to continue to celebrate all that the Lord has done and thank Him for what He will do. Father God, You are gracious and kind. And we do say thank You. Not because we want to see people go, but because we know that in their going, we get to participate in the kingdom work that You are about. And God, I've said it before, but I'll say it again. I keep coming back to this sense of gratitude that this hurts so much. Not because it hurts, but because of why it hurts. Because You knit our lives together. You've used Josh and Sarah and their boys, their family, to encourage me in my walk, as You have in everybody here. But more than just honoring this family, we want to celebrate Your faithfulness. We want to rehearse the fact that You love Your bride far more than we ever could. So we trust You. Be with us now. It's in Your good and gracious name we pray, King Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you. So we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.